Microsoft founder Bill Gates is back in court today giving his first in-person testimony in the antitrust suit against his company. Microsoft already has been found to have violated antitrust laws. The question before the court is what sort of legal remedy should the company face? Gates's appearance is meant to add some weight to the argument that strict sanctions against Microsoft could cripple the PC industry. Gates usually dresses casually, but for yesterday's testimony, he wore a blue suit and a purple tie. NPR's Larry Abramson reports.
The world's richest man strode confidently into the courtroom, bringing 155 pages of written testimony. That tome focused on one simple point. Microsoft is at the center of a delicately balanced PC ecosystem, Gates said. Mess with Microsoft's role, as the 9 states suing the company are advocating, and there could be a ripple effect across the industry. Brad Smith is the incoming general counsel for Microsoft.
The state's proposed sanctions really would do fundamental damage to consumers, and they would fundamentally take the industry back by a decade, undermining not just Microsoft's prospects for success, but the prospects for success for thousands of companies in the PC industry.
Gates reiterated a threat Microsoft has uttered over and over in recent months. He said that under the terms of the sanctions, Microsoft could no longer produce the world's most popular computer operating system, Windows. The 9 states want Microsoft to give up some control over the company's intellectual property. That includes allowing computer manufacturers and other companies to tinker with the features included in Windows. Gates, who bears the title Chief Software Architect at Microsoft, said definitions of those removable features are so confusing, he wouldn't know where to start. Brad Smith says that when the company reached a settlement with the federal government and 9 other states last year, the two sides hammered out very precise definitions.
And in contrast, the sanctions that these states are seeking are so vague and are so broad that, among other things, it is almost impossible to know how one could possibly comply with them when one is designing a technology product.
As far as style goes, Bill Gates has clearly had a makeover since he first appeared on videotape in the original trial more than 3 years ago. Then he quibbled over the meaning of common words and appeared extremely awkward as he rocked back and forth in his chair. This time around, Gates is much more in control. Andrew Gavel teaches law at Howard University and has been observing the trial.
He wanted to be more responsive, more interactive. Come off as less arrogant and more sincere. And I think to some extent he succeeded, although as the day wore on, it appeared that he did deteriorate into essentially bickering with the attorney doing the cross-examination.
But Gavel says the actual substance of Gates' testimony could backfire, and that's the hope of attorneys for the 9 states suing Microsoft. Under cross-examination, Gates had to concede that Microsoft already does some of the things that the sanctions would require, like supporting different versions of Windows and permitting Microsoft products to communicate with other software. Gavel says that's the goal for the plaintiff's lawyer here, to show that Gates is simply dragging his feet.
And to the extent he can succeed in conveying to the judge that really these things could be done if Microsoft was more willing to cooperate, that's a quite different endpoint from truly persuading the court, as Microsoft is trying to do, that they can't be done.
Gates' appearance definitely added a splash of interest to a proceeding that's been driven to the back of the business pages. Once Gates finishes, the remedy phase will return to dry economic analyses as this trial grinds on into its 5th year. Whether or not Gates' appearance has a big impact on the final outcome, it shows one thing. Bill Gates and Microsoft are still very worried about the prospect of court-imposed sanctions. Larry Abramson, NPR News, Washington.